Start your day to away Rabbi Menashe Zemoira.
Good morning to everyone. A special honor for me to be able to be part of this wonderful program of Start the Day. The MSC is, I've always held this program in very high esteem. And for the reason being, Chazal tell us that the Hasidim HaRishonim used to spend an hour preparing themselves before davening every day. The tefillah itself was as well an hour. After the tefillah, the Hasidim HaRishonim spent another hour before they carried on their daily schedules. And it's interesting, what's the significance with an hour after davening? Mefarshim explain, the reason being is the Hasidim HaRishonim understood that when a person davens, he connects himself and elevates himself to very high levels in Yesoides and Emunah and Bitochen and realization of the godless of the Ribbono Shel Olam. However, when a person carries on to his daily life and he goes into Olam Hamaseh, somehow the nature of the Olam Hamaseh doesn't pull a person towards these Yesoides of Emunah, but if anything, only pulls a person towards the opposite. Hasidim HaRishonim understood this, and therefore they spent every day an hour after davening internalizing the Yesoides which they gained in Emunah and Bitochen and realization of the godless of the Ribbono Shel Olam, until it became mamish part of themselves. They internalized it and integrated it into themselves so that it should have an everlasting impact for the rest of their day to stay totally focused. On a similar note, a person who starts his day with Shiur Torah and connects with the Torah and elevates himself through Limud HaTorah, this has an everlasting impact on the rest of his day to stay totally focused, much more focused on how an Ehr L'Chagig should be behaving. And this impact really, either with realizing without realizing, has an impact on a person's self, on his family, and on all his other workmates around him. So Baruch Hashem should take a sense yat deshmaya to this program, wonderful program, should be able to carry on to be marbitz Torah and to bring good hashpoes to the klal. So we'd like to now discuss first the overview, a little bit of the halachas of Shiluach HaKein, and then we'll go on to specifically the Choshe Mishpat part of Shiluach HaKein, which is very relevant to the proper performance of this mitzvah. So let's start with the pasuk. I'll just translate it straight to English. The pasuk tells us in Parshas Kisetzeh, when a person is walking on his way and he happens to find a nest of birds, either he finds it on a tree or he finds it on the ground, and the nest is made either out of little chicks or little eggs, and the mother bird is sitting on the little chicks or on the eggs. Says the Pasuk, one mustn't take the mother bird together with its young, but rather should shoo away the mother bird first, and only afterwards can you take its young. And the Torah says you should do this so that it should be good to you, and you should have arichas yomim. And Chazal explained that this is referring to not this world, but Olam Habo. As the Loshon of Chazal quotes, So really to be able to qualify properly, to be able to do the loch of mitzvah Shiluach HaKein, there's a certain criteria which have to be met. So we're going to see the various details in halacha to be able to meet this criteria. But it's important to know first that whenever the criteria of mitzvah Shiluach HaKein is met, there's two parts to the mitzvah. Firstly, there's a part of the mitzvah of be able to perform the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, which the Torah says, Leman Yitav Loch, it's a very gewaldige mitzvah, Leman Yitav Loch. And secondly, there's an issa of not taking the mother bird together with its young. So in each case, when it won't fall under the category of Shiluach HaKein, firstly, they will not be able to perform the mitzvah, and secondly, there will not be an issa of taking the mother bird together with its young. So let's start off with what type of birds are we talking about to perform the mitzvah. The halacha is that mitzvah Shiluach HaKein is only nogea to kosher species of birds. That means the mother bird and the young all has to be kosher species. So say, for example, a person finds a nest of a raven bird on its young. There's no mitzvah of shiluach hakein, and there's no issa of taking the mother bird together with its young for whatever reason you would want to take it. As the pasuk tells us, v'ho'eim o'evetzes, the mitzvah is only when the mother bird is sitting on its young. If the father bird is sitting, watching its young, there is no mitzvah of shiluach hakein. Therefore, it's important to take note that there's different type of birds, particularly the pigeons, which we have a lot amongst us, and similar families to pigeons. The nature of these birds are that the mother bird is not constantly taking guard over its young, but they take turns. The father bird and the mother bird take some kind of a rota. In the day, the father watches and the mother goes away. And from Shkia time until the morning, the mother comes to watch its young. So if one wants to perform the mitzvah shiluach hakein on pigeons, can only be from Shkia till the morning. If a person finds a pigeon nest in the middle of the day, he should not perform shiluach hakein. He hasn't done the mitzvah. He's maybe even done tzar balechayim by shooing away the bird for no reason. So that's important to take note, different type of birds. Now, as the pasuk says, what type of nest, what's in the nest? The pasuk says either little chicks or eggs. So regarding the eggs, even if the pasuk says in the plural, loshen rabim, really Chazal say that even one egg is enough to perform the mitzvah, as long as it's an egg which has potential to hatch. An egg which is faulty, an egg which is spoilt and will not hatch, cannot perform the mitzvah. One can't always know, but assuming it should be able to hatch if the mother is sitting there. In regards to the chicks, little chicks as well, it doesn't have to be many chicks. Just one chick is enough to perform the mitzvah. As long as the chick is at a young age, that it cannot fly yet. Once the chick has reached the age of independence, that it can fly, and it doesn't need its mother anymore, the mitzvah shiluach hakein does not apply. In regards to the mother bird sitting on top of its young, the pasuk says roivetzes. Chazal learned from this loshen, strange loshen of roivetzes, and it doesn't say yosheves, it doesn't literally have to be sitting on top of it. Even if it's hovering on top of its young, as long as it's touching from above. That means if the mother bird is floating on top, touching onto its young, the eggs or the chicks, as long as it's still touching, that's still considered ho'eim roivetzes, and there'll be the mitzvah of shiluach hakein. However, if the mother flies up a little higher and is not touching, or if the mother's floating around from the side, or sitting amongst them, even touching them next to, that is not what's considered roivetzes. And the idea behind this is the Torah only requires the mitzvah shiluach hakein when the mother is to such a high degree of protectiveness over its children that it's protecting from above, touching them from above. Once it's past this level of protection, there's no mitzvah of shiluach hakein. So now we have everything in place. We have the kosher birds and the mother sitting on top, say. So to how far does one have to shoo away the mother bird? The Torah says just chaleach to shalach. Does the mother bird have to reach out of sight so that she won't be able to see me taking the eggs? One might have thought so. But Chazal say no, and it's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch that as long as the mother bird has reached a certain distance of that it's out of reach, that means I can't just jump up and catch it, even if it's not out of sight. I can still see her and she can still see me taking the eggs. As long as it's out of reach, that's considered the performance of mitzvah shaleach to shalach, and I can go ahead and take the young. Chaznish explains this, why is this gedder so, that it has to be out of reach. And he explains that the nature of the mother bird is that it's going to want to constantly stay around to take guard over its young. So even if I'll try to shoo it away, if she's in a state that she wants to still protect her young, she'll still be hovering around. And that state of hovering around is that state that I can still jump up and catch her. Once she decides that she wants to escape and she wants to leave all guard over her young, That's when she's going to fly further away to the stage. I can't just jump up and catch her. Therefore, the Torah wants shaleach to shalach, send the mother away to such a distance that she's feeling that she's escaping, rather than that she's still hanging around protecting her young.
Can I put them back later? I don't want the chicks or the eggs.
Yeah. So you pick up the eggs and you can put it back afterwards. Yeah. Some say, according to the Zohar, there's a mitzvah dafka to take the eggs away, because there's an idea of the mother bird when she comes back, she should find her nest empty, and then it's Moel Rachmim and Shemaim.
The eggs are there.
Yeah. Some say that that's not pshat in the Zohar.
Once you've touched the egg, does the mother bird not want it anymore?
So it's interesting, but the mitzvah seems to be that the mother bird does come back, even if I would put it back. Sometimes they'll come back, say, a day later, and if I do it twice, she might only come back 3 days later, and then after she might totally not come back.
Still not her arriving when she's away.
Exactly. So that,
and she sees.
Exactly. That's how some explain the Zoya. And according to that, you can just put it back. Now, after... So the way of shooing away, how to shoo away the mother bird, many poskim can take on that there's no difference whether you bang on the nest or you bang on a tree or you scare it in any way that you scare away the mother bird and she flies away because of me and not because of surrounding noises. That's considered the mitzvah of shaleach. Some want to say not like that, but the poskim acceptable way is that any way how you send her away. Now, after the mother bird has reached this distance that it's out of reach, a person can run after the mother bird and catch the bird. That's not a problem of Lesikach Eimar Abonim. Once you've done Shaleach the Shalach, as long as the mother bird didn't come back sitting on its eggs, then you've performed the mitzvah and you can go and catch the mother bird. So this is the generally outline of the halachas. Now there's another very fundamental halacha, Nogea Teshluach HaKen, and that is what Chazal Darshan from the Pasuk Ki Yikorei. The Pasuk says, when it happens to be that you find a nest. And from this Chazal say, Prat Lemezumen, it's coming to exclude the case that it's set up. Now the exact definition of what's considered happen to find or set up is a big discussion amongst the Achroinim and the Poiskim. We're going to go along now with one Mahalach, which seems to be a very acceptable Mahalach, which according to this, all it needs is that the birds have to be hefka. Ki yikorei, when it happens to be, even if a person would set up the situation, he would go around looking for it, as long as he finds the birds on hefka, that's considered ki yikorei. Prat lemezumen, when Chazal say it must not be set up, all it means is it should not be birds belonging to a private person, either the bird or the chicks. Whatever should be, if it belongs to a private person, the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen does not apply. So again, the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen is only on hefka birds. Oh, so this is what we're going to get onto. So following this, a person who has private chickens in his back garden, so the chickens belong to a private person, there's no mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen, and as well, there's no issa of taking the mother chicken together with its little chicks. It belongs to a private person, there's no mitzvah Shiluach HaKen. Now, if the chicken rebels and runs off into the wild and starts forming a nest in the wild, now this chicken is considered hefka, and there'll be the mitzvah Shiluach HaKen on this new nest. The owner of the chicken, after it ran away, he can, because it doesn't belong to him anymore. Hefka chicken. You can only do on a hefka chicken. Yeah. So once it ran away, it's considered hefka. Yeah. Now, very commonly, as you mentioned, these are many common shilas of Shiluach HaKen, is when a bird comes from the wild, a bird from hefka comes, and starts forming a nest in a person's back garden, say. Now, this bird is a hefka bird, forms a nest in your garden. Halacha is in Shulchan Aruch, that's a hefka bird, the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. Oh, so this is a brilliant question. So let's, before carrying on to analyze this halacha, very good. So this is what we're going to discuss now. The question is, he was asking that the chotzer of a person is koin on his behalf. So we're going to analyze now. Let's have a look at the halachas of Kinyan Chotzer. The halacha is that if a person has a private property, which is to some level of protection, which is called the Chotzer HaMishtameres, any item which comes into this Chotzer, any item von Hefker, even without the owner knowing about this item being in his Chotzer, the Chotzer is now going to be koina on his behalf, that item, and now it belongs to this person. So again, very good. So we get on to what's the level of Mishtameres. So again, it has to be a protected to some level, and then the Chotzer will be koina anything from Hefke on his behalf, even if the owner is unaware of the item being there. So now, what's the level of protection that we need to be considered Chotzer Mishtameres? The Poskim do not clearly mention what level of protection, but coming out from the sugya, it seems to be like this, that there's two sides of protection that we need, two angles we need. One is from the object itself, we'll explain soon what I mean, and one is from other people. It has to have some level of protection regarding other people. So let's first start with the object himself. The object itself has to be in a situation that it will not blow out of the property in a wind, or roll out, or run out. So say if it's an animal, came into the property, it has to be that the boundaries are set in such a way that it cannot get out. That's considered Chotzer Mishtameres. If it can fly out whenever it wants, that's not considered Mishtameres.
Can you set up a nest in your property in hoping that a bird will come?
Sorry, can you put a nest there, yes, hoping that a bird will come? Yeah, so we'll have to see whether a person is coined it or not. So this we will have to see. Yeah, according to that, we'll have to... So, as well, if a person, say, let's say if a person has a ball and it's on a slant, the property, the ball can just roll out. The boundaries have to be set in such a way that it will block the ball from falling out. That will be considered Mishtameres. Say if a 20-pound note blew into a person's property, depending if the boundaries are set in such a way that the wind cannot blow it out, properly boundaried. That's the Mishtameres mitzad the object itself. Now, Mishtameres regarding to others, it does not have to be protected to the level that a person cannot come in and steal it. All it has to be a clear boundary that no one will mistakenly come in, taking it, thinking that it belongs from Hefka. Based on this, says the Nesivus, as long as a property has boundaries, clear boundaries around it, even if the boundaries are not locked, it's considered the Chotzer Mishtameres. Even if a ganav can come in, that doesn't matter. But a person won't come in thinking, oh, this is just Hefker. It's clearly a private property. So that's the level of Mishtameres which is needed. So now going back to our bird. So we have a bird which came from Hefker, flew into my Chotzer, and starts forming a nest. So regarding the mother bird can just come and go when she wants. The boundaries are not blocking her. So I'm not coining the mother bird. Still Hefker, very good. The problem is the little chicks. The little chicks and the eggs, because the eggs cannot fly, so they blocked by the boundary. So to the little chicks, as we said earlier, the mitzvah shluach ken only is negea to little chicks which cannot fly yet. Once they've reached the age of flying, there's no mitzvah. So again, we have the problem that a person who has these birds flying in his chotzer, he's koina the little eggs and chicks, and now he surely can't perform the mitzvah anymore. This is the question of the Gemara, because the Braisa says that a person does have the mitzvah shaluach haken on these hefke birds which fly into his property. The Gemara answers to this. So it's mishtameres because it can't get out of this property. The little birds and the chicks are not going to roll out. In no way they're going to get out of there until they can fly. But then there's no mitzvah anymore. So the Gemara answers to this that there is, as long as the mother bird is sitting on its young, there's an issa to be koina those eggs. As the Pasuk tells us, first you must shoo away the mother bird, and only afterwards can you be koina the little chicks. As long as the mother bird is there, there's an issa to take the little chicks, there's an issa to, not even to, only to take it, but to be koina it. Same way that I have an issa not to be koina it, my chotzer, which wants to be koina on my behalf, is not koina anything on my behalf when it's an issa to be koina. So again, the Gemara answers, as long as the mother bird, from when she laid the eggs, is sitting on top of its eggs, there's an issa to be koina the eggs, so my chotzer is not koina those eggs on my behalf, So the eggs are still considered hefka, and therefore can comfortably be mekayim the mitzvah shaluach hakein. Says the Ran, very important, if the mother bird at any point flew off away from her eggs, from when after the eggs were laid, she flew away, now there's no issa anymore to take the eggs, my chotzes koina on my behalf, is considered now mezumen, and I cannot perform the mitzvah. So again, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch paskin, if a bird comes and forms a nest, a bird from Hefka in my back garden, as long as from when the eggs were laid, the mother bird never flew off, there's a mitzvah, I can be mekayim the mitzvah shulach hakein. Brilliant question. So we get on to that. So it says that Shulchan Aruch, that once the mother bird blew away, there's no mitzvah anymore. Now, generally on the eggs, which on the birds that the poskim were talking about, were type of birds which the mother bird stayed protecting its young. Says the Beis Yosef, that one can assume, if he doesn't know whether the mother bird flew away or not, one can assume that obviously she stayed there with the young. As well, Marsham says, if a person has a sofek, he didn't watch the bird the whole time, a person can assume that the mother bird will stay there. But very good question. The pigeons which we have amongst us, we know the nature of these birds being different. We know that there's a rota between the father and the mother, and the mother bird is only present at night. And even the next day after the eggs were laid, you might think she might want to stay a day with a little. No, the first day, next morning, she's off already. So at that point, if I have a nest of pigeons in my back garden, the mother bird the next morning flies off, my chot is coin on my behalf, so I cannot be mekayim this mitzvah, l'chayra. So this is a very important thing to be aware of, pigeons in the back garden, l'chayra, we are asking a question, one cannot perform the mitzvah only the first night. But the poskim say an eitzah. A person can, if a person sees a nest starting to form in his back garden, or he sees a mother laying eggs, he should say, I do not want my chotzer to be koin on my behalf. The halacha is a chotzer of a person is only koin on his behalf if he agrees to it. It's not koina against his will. So if he says, I do not want it to be koina, it will not be koina, and then a person can perform the mitzvah shuach ken at any point. Now this l'chayra, this eitzah will only help. Very good. That's another eitzah we'll see in the poskim hefka. Very good. So that's another important thing to be aware of. L'chayra, this will only help us if you manage to say this before the mother flew off. A person doesn't always catch it on time. But says the Sefer Torah Sakanyonim that there's another eitzah, because the Nesiva says that if a person never knew that an object had come into his chotzer, say let's say 10 days later he finds out, if on the 10th day when he found out he said, I never wanted my chotzer to be coined on my behalf, he can cancel that kinyan. It was never chal, because he's saying it's bal kocha, I never wanted it. So to hear, if at any point when a person finds out about this nest, he can say, I never wanted my chotzer to be coined on my behalf, and he can still perform the mitzvah. Very well, as you mentioned, some poskim say there's another eitzah of being mafkir. Now, being mafkir, we need to analyze what exactly are you going to be mafkir and what's the halachas of hefka. So, generally, in hefka, we know that there's a takona from a chazal. When one wants to be mafkir chayfetz, it has to be in front of three people. And that is, one person is needed just to make sure that he's serious about it. If there's a person present, he's obviously serious because the person might just grab it. And the two people are there, the other two are there for edus. There shouldn't be a dispute afterwards. So for the Rabbanan said, hefka has to be in front of three people. Now there's a machlokes in Rishonim already, min ha-Torah, is hefka in front of one person or even in front of no one? And Ramon takes on that min ha-Torah, hefka is even in front of nobody. Therefore, the poskim say that in certain situations when it's very clear and obvious that a person is being serious about his hefka, say, let's say, when it comes to not being over the issa of Bali Ro, Bali Motze, and his mafka, his chometz, in such a situation, chomim never said you need in front of three people, and it's not enough even beinoy levein asma, even... Very good. So there's a whole...
you stand in the street and you say,
yeah, exactly. So this,
don't do it in front of people.
It's a big discussion in the post, in which cases do we say that we for sure that he's mafkit and he doesn't need three people, and when do you need three people?
Doesn't the Gemara bring down mice with the wood, mafkit the wood in the street and he's not kind of it?
Yeah, exactly. So the Poskim do talk about this, whether that situation, there were others present as well. So again, in this situation of being mafkir, so some Poskim mentioned this Eitzah, that say, let's say you found out about this nest after the mother bird flew away already, and you were a koiner, b'chot, so let's say you were a koiner, then you can go either in front of three people, and say, I'm mafkir these little birds, and then you can perform the mitzvah. Or others suggest that here, it's obvious when a person is being mafkir, that he's being serious about it, because he's serious, he wants to be mekayim the mitzvah. Some say that here you don't even need three people. Now, it's important to point out that some poskim do not like this idea of being mafkir, and for the reason being, is because they say, regarding the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen, once it's considered mezumen, once I was koinet and it's considered mezumen, I cannot just, by being mafkiret, consider it now yikore. That hefker will not help to be able to perform the mitzvah. But lemaisa, the poskim today, and the minhag ha'olam is all to take on, that a person can be mafkir even after he was koinet. Now this shaila is as well megia, if a person has in his back garden a nest, and he wants 10 people to be kind of mitzvah. So say on day one, he'll do shilach again, koine the eggs, because you have to be koine the eggs, and now put them back and be mafkirit. So there we have the same shaila. He was koine the eggs, now it's his. Can you just be mafkirit and do the mitzvah again when the mother comes back tomorrow? So according to the poskim today, all say that yes, you can be mafkirit, and you can do the mitzvah, 10 people can do the mitzvah, as long as the mother bird keeps on coming back. As you mentioned before, sometimes the mother bird eventually will not come back anymore.
Can you say back garden?
No, I was saying back garden because generally back garden is mishtameras. Not each front garden has full boundaries around it. Yeah, sometimes if it has proper boundaries around and it will not fly out, then it will be mishtameras. Yeah.
Somebody's ledge, quite often you see a nest on a ledge.
Yeah, so if there's boundaries around the property that the birds cannot get out, then can't just walk out. Say the little chicks can't walk out, then that's considered a protected place. Just one more thing, it's important to point out that this halacha of chotzer mishtameres is only on a property belonging fully to a person. What happens to a person who rents a place? A tenant. To who is the chotzer koiner? To the tenant or to the landlord? So this is a big machlekes in the poskim. Generally, it's taken on in the poskim that the tenant is koine kinen chotzer. Now, it's important when it comes to the mitzvah shiluach hakein, this is not so simple. Because say if the tenant wants to do shiluach hakein, and he says, I do not want my chotzer to be koine these little eggs on my behalf, this won't be enough, because now he wasn't koine it, but I will go back to the landlord. So we have to call up the landlord and ask him as well, we need his permission as well to say, I do not want the chotzer. It's more complicated when it comes to tenancy. So that's just generally the halachas of Shiluach HaKein. We should be able to be zoicha to lishmoya lilmoy to lelameid lishmoy v'lasis.
Good question.
It seems like it's more tzar for the mother to be present and see
it's
on a lower degree.